Well, this is the official welcome to all of you for our 70th anniversary. We've been praying a lot for this time here, and we know the Lord is going to come to us and bless us. He already has, and thank God for that. I'm so thankful for this season, especially how God came to us from the very beginning. Some of you may not know that we have a Chinese inner conference retreat in the middle of June, where these precious souls come from all over China, Taiwan, Singapore, Malaysia, a couple other countries out west, Canada. And what a wonderful way to start the season. This is the sixth season we've had them come, and they are such precious people. They wake up at 6:30, they have their prayer meetings, and it's such a blessing. It starts the season off, and it continued all season. We had a wonderful, wonderful season, not only number-wise. We never had a camper waiting list as long as we did. Campers came from, again, all over from China, from Hong Kong, the West Coast, Massachusetts. Here's one from China, our brother Kevin. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful that God is still moving among us at this place after 70 years. And we're so thankful for that. It moves us as leaders, as trustees, that it makes us walk carefully, plan carefully, always with a desire to please the Lord in every decision that we make. And we pray that the Lord will continue to do that. I'm thankful, as I said, this year for our fellowship ministers who have taken up the torch after our venerables have passed. And I'm thankful for these gentlemen here. And Brother John Praw is one of the ministers that ministers during the season. Keith Schneider, Jonathan Schulteis. And you will be hearing from our fellowship ministers throughout this time. Plus a lot of Christian workers that are here. Some have started as campers, but we're thankful for that. In past years, we wondered when Sister Caroline died. I remember when she died, and wow, how are we going to go on with, and then later with Brother Gordon dying, how is camp going to continue? I remember when Sister Caroline died, especially. It was my lot to play the organ, and Dr. Roy Gray, you all remember him, some of you remember Dr. Gray, he got up a couple days after camp began that year, and I was sitting at the organ, and he got up and he says, "I just want to tell you how much I miss Sister Caroline." I look over at that organ, and I say, "Oh, Sister Caroline, where are you?" And, of course, we were always taught not to be sensitive, so I tried not to be. But we look back, but we also want to look ahead to what the Lord has for us. All of us in the leadership position always have Brother Gordon looking over our shoulders. And the others, too, that influenced camp. So some of these young men have heard, and young women have heard, Brother Gordon's name and Sister Caroline's name. They never met him, but they were a big influence on many, many in this room. Ron Klaus told me just before what a tremendous influence Brother Gordon had on his life and on mine, too. I remember when I strayed far from the Lord, I didn't know it at the time, of course, that Brother Gordon was praying. He was, as you know, he was one who had to get things in the mail. It had to be that day. And so he drove to the post office every day to bring any mail that he did. And he later told me, or I don't know if he told me or Sister Caroline did, but every time he drove to town, he took that time to pray for me. And the Lord drew me back to himself, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to remember that I had a friend like that, that cared so much for me, and so I'm thankful for him. We have endeavored to keep things at camp exactly as they were, or sort of as they were, mainly in the spirit of things, which is obvious. I remember once I was thrown for a loop because Brother Edwin and I were in this room, Brother Edwin Sr., and he, in his, the voice he had, Paul, he says, don't ever let guitars come in here. So I went. So the first one I went to was Brother Kenny. I said, and Kenny, of course, is a great minister with his guitar. We love him. And I said, Kenny, I said, Brother Edwin said no guitars. And that same summer, Brother Edwin invited the guitar and corps from Kirchheim. This is a band of like 10 guitars and mandolins and all these stringed instruments. So I went to Brother Edwin later. I said, Brother Edwin, I thought you said you didn't want guitars. He said, oh, I just mean I don't want any praise guitars. I don't want them getting up there playing their guitars and praising like that. So he clarified things. And so sometimes you had to read between the lines with Brother Edwin. But I thank the Lord for that. I would like to call your attention to this devotional that we had. Sister Edith Blumhofer and Eddie started this before Eddie went to be with the Lord. We have a goodie bag for everyone here, and in that goodie bag is one of these devotionals, okay? And you'll be blessed by that. Also, if someone was not at Brother Eddie's funeral, I have some of these. Please come and see me in the office. I'll be happy to give you one of those. I have some greetings here I'd like to read from people that are not here that would like to be here. Sister Antia, first of all, says, 70 years or many years since a host of pilgrims came to Pilgrim Camp to be encouraged and refreshed on their pilgrim way. Besides, there were many others who got their first start to follow Jesus and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was one of them. I want to thank the Lord for his faithful servants who had it in their heart to start Pilgrim Camp. That was many years ago. For me, it was always a great joy to serve on the staff. To this day, may Jesus continue through his Holy Spirit to touch many hearts, save souls, fill with his Spirit, and lead them on as faithful pilgrims to serve the Lord. May the Lord bless you all very richly, Sister Antia. And how we thank God for Sister Antia. All these years, she served this year again as a cottage counselor. She's in Europe right now and couldn't be with us. Anna Baca also writes, how well I remember 1946. I was asked by the gardeners if I would consider going with them to Pilgrim Camp to help clean and open up camp for the first season. I naturally said yes, and my parents agreed. As a result, I became the camp's first housekeeper. Al Horn drove all of us first-time workers with Caroline, Gordon Greetley, and I. We squeezed into the car. The ride took 2 days, with Gordon insisting on a few side trips of a historical nature. Seeing this place for the first time was thrilling for me. The lodge was a collection of hunting trophies, Indian relics, and antiques. Gordon had a great time rummaging through everything, directing that the liquor be poured out, playing cards and chips discarded, and furniture rearranged. The gardeners made it seem like a new adventure, a discovery of a new world. After joining the business world, my friends and family would vacation regularly at Pilgrim Camp. It became my spiritual filling station. My husband Ralph used his God-given talent when needed for certain projects such as building lean-tos, cabin repair, wheelchair access ramps. Then in June 2001, Ralph built the staircase for the Watch Rock Lodge as his final project. That's the waitress staircase. You see his plaque on the sign there. The Lord took him to glory the following year. As one generation gives way to the next, it is a blessing for me now to see my children's children also learn to trust God at camp and grow to appreciate the heritage we have in Jesus Christ. Working at camp and doing all for Jesus is what really matters. You may come home a bit tired, right, Seth? But spiritually refreshed and filled to overflowing. Ed and Marianne Carute. They were scheduled to come, but they had to cancel at the last minute. Hard to believe it's been 70 years plus, including the boys camping at Lake George prior to Pilgrim Camp. I believe it was C.S. Lewis that wrote that there are some places on earth closer to heaven than others. We were blessed. Pilgrim Camp is such a place. Our thoughts and prayers be with you as you celebrate. May the Lord continue his blessings on that special place on this planet. Remember us in your prayers. Ed and Marianne. Sal Gaglio was also scheduled to be here. He had to cancel. Dear Paul, in early June, I sustained a hip injury resulting from a fall. That, compounded with a heel infection, is delaying my healing 2 to 3 months. Consequently, I have decided to cancel my reservation. Both Jenny and I will miss the fellowship with the saints and most of all the services. Through it all, the Lord has been instructing me that I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, and only by his abundant grace. Please greet the Camp 70 saints. Hope to see you at Camp 80. And then our dear sister Edith Blumhofer, who would love to be here, and she sends this. We're sorry not to be with you for the special occasions. Historians like anniversaries because they are all about remembering. As Camp's verse for this year says, remember your leaders, consider the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. May we look back with the future in view. Our past leaders would be the first to say that God wants to do more and greater things, and that the past must lead us forward. Our hearts are with you, and we thank you for your faithful prayers. P.S. This week, Ed bought me a new commercial mixer. Stay tuned for next summer's porch snacks. So we're thankful for that. We're going to hear from our ministers in the days to come, also from many of you who have started out in Pilgrim Camp, went to the mission fields, have pastored someplace. So there's going to be time to hear from many of you. Plus, we're going to have a testimony night Saturday night, so those of you who are not on the schedule will get a chance to share with us as well. After Brother Gordon died, who he was director for 40 years, then Brother Bob Collis and Sister Ruth Collis were directors for 5 years. And it was my pleasure. Almost six? Okay, I have from 1987 to 92, but I stand corrected. 6 years? Okay. And we're thankful. That was a pleasure working with Bob and Sister Ruth. And we would like to hear a word from Sister Ruth now.
I'm thankful for Pilgrim Camp. I'm thankful that Brother Hans Walfogel purchased this camp right after the war. And Sister Caroline and Brother Edwin, they went looking for a place. We had used Lake George the few years before, and I was among them that went to Lake George. And then this camp opened 1946. I was just a teenager, and I wanted a lot of fun. I wanted to have good time here, and that's how I came up. I didn't have any other idea except I wanted to go swimming and boating and having a jolly good time. And I did have a good time, but that morning when we came, Brother Hans Walfogel was here, and he spoke to us, and he said that you could have a very nice time swimming and so on, but he says you can find Jesus, you can draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And he said, and there's a wonderful library, there was a library there. It's in a different place now, but that was the library. And he said, you can find some good books here. And, of course, we were young people, and so he says there's Tip Lewis and his lamp, and he mentioned other things. And as soon as I got settled, we were in that office. There were five of us in that office, five beds. And the ones that were there was Jean Hall, Marie Salvia, Lydia Shermer, and myself, and Madeline Linhart. We were all there. We shared that room together. And the first thing I did, once I got my bed made, I went, made a beeline for the library, and I got that book, Tip Lewis, out of the library, and I began to read it. And of course, it's a child's book, and it tells about a naughty boy that was so naughty that he always got into trouble. But one day his brother, little Johnny, baby, died. And they had a funeral, and he got pretty sober. And the minister saw how Tip was so sober. And he went to him later on, and he said to him, "Here, I have something for you." He says, he gave him a Bible. And he wrote in the beginning of the Bible, he wrote, not Tip, but he wrote Edward Lewis. And he said, "This book can be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path." And he says, "If you get into any trouble or whatever you go through in life, why, this book will show you the way and it'll lead you in the right path." And so that's what he did. And he began to improve in his home, in his school, and in every way. And it began to show. And in school, they had to make an acrostic of their name. And he did that. And he searched in the Bible. He put, "Evening and morning will I call upon thy name, and he will answer me. And draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." And it was a beautiful acrostic. And everyone was amazed when they read it. And so it went. And, you know, the Lord led him so wonderfully that when he became a man, he became a minister of the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? And that touched my heart. And I said, "Lord, I want to be for you. And I want you to change my life." And this word became very precious to my heart. It became a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and it guided me through life. Whenever I had a problem, I went to this word, and this word always gave me the right direction. And I'm so thankful for this word. I'm so thankful those holy words came from Brother Gordon and Sister Caroline. And many time I heard people make fun of Brother Gordon and different ones that ministered here because of the rules. But you know, God used those rules. God used Brother Gordon in a mighty way. And he used many other ministers that came here. And I'm thankful for them. I remember when Miss Judge came. It was a very rainy day, and you know, rainy days aren't nice up here. And she sat right here, and she said, "Today can be a red letter day in your life." And you know, God did. He changed lives. He changed my life. After I went home from camp that year, I wanted to stay only 1 week, but the gardeners called home and asked if I could stay another week, and I did. When I went home, I was changed, changed by the mighty word of God. And My mother didn't have to say. She knew right away something was different. I'd go to the sink and do the dishes and keep the room clean and help her in every way. Why, God came to me and I wanted to please him in every way that I could. And God began to lead me and guide me. And I don't have to tell you, but the Lord brought Brother Bob into my life. In one of the first years, he came up and I'd play the piano. In those days, we had more freedom here. And I'd play the piano and he'd play his horn and the young people would come around and sing. But I didn't care for him one bit. And when he went back to Elizabeth, forget it. And but one day he came to Ridgewood to study for the ministry. And whenever I went to service, he'd greet me very, very warmly. And I thought, oh, he does that to everybody. And then Brother Hans Waldfogel invited him to go to Europe with him for evangelistic services. And he sent me a card from every little hamlet in Germany. It was only greetings, but my sister said to me, I bet you're going to marry him. I said, no way. Because the girls would flock around him, and he was a handsome guy. And I said, no, I don't want to marry him. But you know, the Lord began to come in one day when I was working. It was as if the Lord said, well, what if I wanted you to marry him? And I laughed out loud. And then I got serious with the Lord, and I asked him to show me his will for my life. And the Lord did show me. He said, one night, the Lord showed me very definitely that he would do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think if I went with him. And meeting at the end of the year,
Watch night service.
The Lord did so much, and I came out. It was snowing, beautiful. He joined me, Bob joined me, and he said to me before he left me, would you go with me to the Bowery Mission Saturday night? And I said, yes. And that was the first that we got to really know each other. But we only saw each other in the meeting. We didn't really go on any dates, or we didn't go on a lot of things. And so in 1 year, we were engaged to be married. And a lot of our friends were getting married. There was Carl and Hildegard and a lot of our young people at that time. And I thought, I don't know about Bob and I. We don't have a place to live. We don't have anything in this world. He didn't have a job. He was studying for the ministry. And people told me, if you marry him, you're going to be poor as a church mouse. And it's going to be terrible. It's going to be horrible. And, you know, whenever you want to do the will of the Lord, there's always a different side. And I just followed the Lord, and the Lord brought those wonderful words to pass. The week before we got married, we didn't have a place. We didn't have an apartment or house or anything. My mother said, you're not going to live with the Calluses. That's not healthy to begin your marriage with. She says, I'll make sure you have a place downstairs. I said, Lord, you know that's not your will. It's not your will, Lord. Oh, Jesus, open up a place for me. And you know, 1 week before our wedding, Bob came. And he says, guess what? We have an apartment. And we went to look at it. three rooms, big rooms, big kitchen, big a big bedroom, and a big living room. I tell you, those were the best years of our marriage, even. We had all our children there until we couldn't find another place to put something. And the Lord led us, and He gave us a good ministry. We had a wonderful ministry. We prayed together all the time, and God answered so many prayers. And that's why this camp has been so blessed, because the prayer room was always full, and God blessed that prayer room. The first years, Brother Saylor came with his wife, and they had little Trudy. She was only a couple of months old, and they lived there. There was a bathroom, and they could keep it warm there. But that was a severe, severe winter, and the snow was this high. And they really gave their life. And Brother Carl Saylor was a great blessing. He used to pray with the young people when he was younger. And he knew every inch of this ground. He knew every inch of this ground. What a blessing he was. What a blessing his wife was. And I thank God for them. They were a foundation. And I thank God for many others that have come, many ministers that have come to this camp and preached the word. I'm thankful for all the missionaries that came. I'm thankful for what God did in this camp. And I think of how the Lord poured out His Spirit and used many of the young people. I think of Sister Elizabeth was in the cottage, and she had a simple song about just following the Lord. And that night, she asked my brother Paul, she said, "Would you like to go on the highway that leads to life?" And he said yes, and he gave his heart to the Lord. Another time, my sister came, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit here. It was wonderful. And then God used her in a mighty way in Taiwan for many years. And he's still making her a great blessing there. And I thank God for that. Esther Sadat came here. And God used her in India. And there were many others that found Jesus here in a mighty way because of the Word of God. Let me read to you. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in the world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let those ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let those ancient words impart. Holy words of faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. People sacrificed. And oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful for all the words of Christ that were given here and that changed lives. There were many, many, many lives that were changed in the cottage, in the village. Why, God changed lives, and He used them for His glory. And I think of a little boy that came from Williamsburg. His name was Fred Falduti. He used to sing real loud, all those silly songs, you know, that the kids know. But, you know, God used to made him a minister. One day I met him. I was in Ridgewood, and I went to the back, and there was a sailor boy, sailor young man. And he says, "Oh, Sister Ruth, do you remember me?" It was Fred Falduti.
but the Lord used him for his glory. And there are many, many others that God came into their lives and used the Word of God. The Word became a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. And he's still working. Why, he's using people today, right here. Many of them, you see them, Brother Ernie, Brother Ken, Brother Gordon, and Brother Philip. We thank them, God, for them. I thank God for Brother Paul Munsinger, who has been such a blessing to us when we were directors. And I thank God for Brother John Munsinger. I don't know if where he is. There he is. Why, he helped make all those cabins have a bathroom. Isn't that wonderful? He did. He built them. It's wonderful. We can thank God for people like that. We can thank God that there's people that are working here today. It's hard work to be on the staff. I don't care what position you get, but oh, it's hard work. But oh, if you love Jesus, look at Elsie Soma. She's here every summer, and she's such a blessing. And Elisa, and there are others that have been here, and they have given of their time, of their service. They were servants of the Lord. God used them, and God's using many more, and he's going to use many more through this precious word that has been imparted to all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Let my soul
this little booklet that Brother Paul referred to, there were readings for each of the days of the camp period, and they were taken from different ones who have been instrumental in the camp. People like, well, I should just read the names here. There's Charles Hofflander is one, Brother Edwin Waldvogel, Helen Wanamaker, Elsie Klaus,
yes.
Pearl Young, Hans Waldvogel, Caroline Gardner, Gordon Gardner, Arthur Waldvogel, Edwin J. Waldvogel, and Robert Collis. And so we have, and there's also Fern Bailey. I never met Sister Fern Bailey. Anyone remember Fern Bailey? Oh, look at that. So where was I? Maybe I wasn't born yet. And so, from Canada, right? The Maritime Provinces. But Brother Paul has asked that in each of our meetings that we have this for the 70th celebration that we read one of these readings. We're not going to get to all of them, but he selected seven of them. And so the first one for tonight is entitled Receive Grace. Receive Grace. It is all very simple. I just need to recognize myself a sinner, an alien, out of fellowship with God, and invite the Spirit of Christ to come into my heart to forgive all my sins and to take the throne of my heart as my Lord and King. Rejoice, then, in this relationship, and grow in the faith by establishing a daily habit of Bible reading, prayer, and obedience to the Scriptures, and sharing your faith with others. And that was Brother Charles Hofflander. Receive grace. How thankful we are for the grace of our Lord Jesus. And so I'd like us just to sing together. I had wanted us to sing the camp song, and I guess we'll receive grace to be holy. How about that? So, holiness unto the Lord. And it's number 44 in the white book. Let's stand again as we sing.
Sin. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. Holiness unto the Lord as we're marching along. Sing it, shout it loud and long. Holiness unto the Lord now and
you may be seated. Before we sing the last verse, I just wanted to just give the announcements. Sometimes I forget to do that, and so while I remember, first, just to say that if you have a car on the property, we encourage you to put it on in the parking lot if that's not an inconvenience to you. If you are blocking the roadways, though, it might be difficult for the deliveries to come for food, and then people would not be happy with you. So please move your car, if you can, to the parking lot so that the roadways are clear. I think, too, it helps around the cabins if people can move more freely and not to have cars in the way. Now, you might have special dispensation where you've been allowed to do that, so then you can ignore this. But if you haven't been specifically instructed by an angel, no, or by Brother Paul, or someone, please comply. The second thing is that tomorrow morning, I really enjoy the fan, by the way. It's really a blessing. So whoever put the fan in, thank you. Thank you, Brother Ken. The second thing is that tomorrow morning we meet at 8:30 for breakfast. The trumpet will sound at 8 o'clock, as usual. And not sure how many trumpets will sound. I feel a little bit bad. I left my instrument at home. I had it fourth period, and I just, you know, it's a big thing to lug around, you know, a grand piano. I mean, I just not, not my baritone. So, but the trumpet sounds at 8, and then at 8:30 we gather for breakfast. And then we're trying to start a little bit earlier, or was trying to start at 9:15 for the morning worship. So, again, I know you like to fellowship, and we don't want to rush you through breakfast, but if you could make your way here as soon as you can after breakfast, we'd like to start around 9:15, at 9:15. And then I'm sure there'll be time throughout the day for you to continue your fellowship. But we want to just give God that time in the morning and seek Him together, and I'm sure He'll meet us. So we have a fourth verse yet?
Yes.
Called unto holiness, bride of the Lamb, waiting the bridegroom's returning again. Lift up your heads, for the King joins in. In beauty the King shall appear. Holiness unto the Lord is a watchword and song. Holiness unto the Lord. I'm marching along, sing it, shout it loud and long. Holiness unto the Lord, now and forever.